The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired audience. This is Avra Lewis from NC Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Ebony and Essence magazines. The first article today is from a past article. It's titled, DC Bishop Slams Trump for Visiting Church After Police Use Tear Gas on Protesters. A DC bishop is against President Donald Trump visiting her churches, particularly after clearing out peaceful protesters using tear gas, flash grenades, and rubber bullets from outside the White House gates, just so he could make that visit. He sanctioned the use of tear gas by police officers and riot gear to clear the churchyard. I am outraged, Bishop Marion Edgar Budd of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington told CNN about Trump's visit to St. John's Episcopal Church, which is known as the Church of Presidents. According to the report, Trump was surrounded by aides during his visit to the church and only remained there for a minute before returning to the White House. St. John's has not escaped some damage from the protests surrounding the death of George Floyd and had its walls defaced on Sunday. There was also a small fire in the parish house basement. However, church leaders noted that at large, the church was untouched. I am outraged. The president did not pray when he came to St. John's, nor, as you just articulated, did he acknowledge the agony of our country right now? Bud said before expressing her support of protesters, and in particular, that of the people of color in our nation who wonder if anyone in public power will ever acknowledge their sacred words, and who are rightfully demanding an end to 400 years of systemic racism and white supremacy in our country. And I just want the world to know that we in the Diocese of Washington following Jesus and his way of love. We distance ourselves from the incendiary language of this president. We follow someone who lived a life of nonviolence and sacrificial love, she added. We align ourselves with those seeking justice for the death of George Floyd and countless others. Bud also slammed Trump's use of the Bible during the visit, where he held up the scripture while posing for cameras. Let me be clear. The president used a Bible, the most sacred text of the Judeo-Christian tradition, and one of the many churches of my diocese without permission as a backdrop for a message anti-ethical to the teachings of Jesus and everything that our churches stand for, the bishop said. Donald Trump emerged from the White House on Monday evening, apparently angered by reports that he had cowered in his underground bunker amidst protests on Friday at the White House. Reportedly angered by those reports, according to CNN, Trump declared himself, quote unquote, your president of law and order, and once again threatened military violence against protesters. If a city or state refuses to take the actions necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them, he said. The next article is titled, Black Twitter Black Twitter's funniest reactions to that Insecure finale shocker. Let's be honest. The best part about Insecure is talking about Insecure. We love debating over it, tweeting about it, and of course, dropping our predictions for what's to come for each new episode. So, of course, with Insecure's season finale, Low Key Lost, written by Princess Penny, premiered Sunday night, Black Twitter watched together as a collective family. Perhaps the biggest shock of the episode was a storyline that fans had been predicting all season. Condola, or Condola Virus, as y'all like to call her, is pregnant with Lawrence's child, crushing all of Isha's dreams, and ours too. The next article is titled, Vanessa Bryant blocked Kobe Bryant fan pages on Instagram for her mental health. Vanessa Bryant, wife of late NBA legend Kobe Bryant, recently spoke out about having to make adjustments on social media to aid herself and her eldest daughter, Natalia, during the grieving process. Vanessa revealed on Instagram that while she's thankful for the outpouring of love and support from her husband's fans, she recently had to block some of the fan pages posting about Kobe and their daughter, Gianna, who both passed away tragically in a helicopter crash in January. Natalia Bryant and I have unfortunately had to block fan pages because it's been really hard to go online and constantly see pics of our beloved Gigi and Kobe under every single square of our Explore pages. Vanessa explained in an Instagram post over the weekend, blocking the fan pages has helped change the algorithm. In the 5 months since Kobe and Gianna's passing, Vanessa has been doing her best to remain strong for her three daughters, Natalia, Bianca, and Capri. The 37-year-old has been sharing precious moments with her girls and even posted a video of herself getting new tattoos in Kobe and Gianna's honor. We wish the Bryant family peace and love as they heal. The next article is titled, A Makeup Line from Kanye West May Be On The Way. If there is one thing we know about Kanye West, it's that he creates his own lane, and the business mogul may very well be on his way to forging his path in the beauty industry. It has been reported by TMZ that Kanye's company recently filed for a Yeezy trademark that would cover a scope of beauty and personal care products, including makeup, bath gels, body oils, shaving cream, hair care products, perfumes, toothpaste, deodorant, and even scented pine cones. And while the idea of selling the latter sounds bizarre, the business isn't at all shocking. West's family circle consists of successful beauty entrepreneurs, including his wife, Kim Kardashian, who launched KKW Beauty, a wildly popular cosmetic brand in 2017. It's also worth mentioning that West filed a trademark for Donna Brand Cosmetics, named after his late mother, the same year that KKW launched, but nothing emerged from the effort. Perhaps this time will be different. No further details have emerged about the rumored line at this time. While a lot of people in the Black community haven't been fans of his politics as of late, there's no denying that he's a branding genius, and we look forward to seeing how Kanye will make his mark in the beauty industry. The next article is titled, Amanda Seales to Host BET Awards 2020. It's gone be a blackity black award show because Amanda Seales has been tapped to host this year's BET Awards coming later this month. The news was announced by the network Monday, the same day the nominations were released. Drake leads with 6 BET award nods, including one for Video of the Year. Other artists to be nominated include Megan Thee Stallion and Roddy Ricch, who both nabbed 5 nods each. Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Chris Brown, Lizzo, and DaBaby round out other top artists who scored 4 nominations apiece. With Seals helming the awards show, music lovers can also expect performances by nominees such as Meg and DaBaby, along with Chloe X Hall, Summer Walker, Usher, Lil Wayne, John Legend, Sir, and his brother, D Smoke. BET was created to stand at the forefront of Black culture. We have made strides over the past 2 decades to create a space where Black creativity, culture, and art have the opportunity to get the celebration it deserves in a world where it is systematically muted, said BET executive Connie Orlando in a statement. This year, we're looking forward to continuing the tradition of providing fans with those special, not-to-be-missed moments of enrichment, entertainment, empowerment, and also using our platforms to create change for our community. The BET Awards, which will also premiere on CBS, will air on Sunday, June 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. Next article, titled, Tika Sumter says Black women shouldn't protect their white partners from the race talk. During such tense climate where systemic racism being brought to the surface, actress Tika Sumter has some advice based on her experience as a Black woman in a relationship with a white partner. The mixedest actress tweeted that the topics of race should never be off limits between interracial couples. Dear Black interracial couples with a significant other who is white, she said, we do not need to protect them. I promise they will be okay. They need to continue to fight for us. If they get offended when you talk about racist, you have a bigger problem on your hands. Sumter herself is in a relationship with fellow actor Nicholas James, whom she met on the set of the Tyler Perry's The Haves and Have Nots in 2016. They're currently engaged and share a 4-year-old daughter named Ella. The pair's relationship initially started out very private, but they have gradually opened up about their life together over the years. Sumter has also never shied away from sharing what it's been like being in an interracial relationship as a Black woman. During a recent appearance on The Real, she said, I think people have a problem when it comes to Black women having interracial relationships, she told the show's host. A lot of other people step outside of their race and date, and it's fine. Not only has Sumter been using her platform to have candid conversations about race, but she's also bringing transparency to the world of parenting with her new motherhood platform, Sugar Berry, co-founded with her friend Ty Randolph, who is a media executive. Kudos to this queen for keeping it real. The next article is titled, Shop 10 Trendy Sneakers Your Dad Will Love for Father's Day. Father's Day is officially less than 1 week away, but it's not too late to order a gift from a number of online retailers. COVID-19 once put a snag in mail delivering services, but major U.S. cities have commenced reopening, helping the online ordering process slowly return to normal. If your dad is a sneaker lover, or if you're looking to introduce him to a cool trend, there are a few standouts that every sneakerhead should have. The top of that list is the Jordan 3 Retro Black Cement and the Yeezy Boost. These are two pairs you're bound to find in any of the Hype's Beast closets. Joe Fresh Good 992 New Balance are harder to come by, but equally desirable. Scrolling the internet for the perfect pair of sneakers can be challenging with the number of resale sites now out there. However, we were able to locate where you can purchase these sneakers everyone is talking about. Scroll below for retailers who have our favorite sneakers in stock. The next article is titled, Luxury Label Hanifa Signs with the Hinton Group. For designer Hanifa Muimba, the past few months have been rewarding to say the least. She announced yesterday that her luxury label, Hanifa, has now signed with the Hinton Group, a Black-owned public relations firm led by powerhouse Nate Hinton. The Hinton Group has been a key factor in the rise of Kirby Jean, Raymond's brand, Pyre Moss, while also representing other high-end Black-owned labels like Sergio Hudson, Aliti, and Securini. Hanifa emailed me last September for a meeting in the midst of Fashion Week. I asked her to reschedule, but we never did. Hinton tells Essence. After I saw the 3D show on IG, I said to myself, I have to work with her because she delivered what I had been envisioning for fashion shows in today's climate. She quickly adapted to COVID-19 regulations early March by testing out 3D models to showcase pieces from her brand. Shortly after, the designer held a digital fashion show on Instagram Live that blew away the industry and gained rave reviews from Teen Vogue, Forbes, Harper Bazaar, and Essence. We've been very excited to be partnering with the Hinton Group. It is important to me to work with a Black PR firm. I've always admired THG's work and the intentionality behind every brand they represent. I look forward to seeing what Hanifa can accomplish with them. Just last week, Black women rallied around her as a Forbes writer credited the startup company Big Thinks for hosting the first 3D fashion show after a call out at Essence and responses from unsatisfied supporters on Twitter. The article was later taken down. I am looking forward to stopping at nothing to see Hanifa become even more successful, exclaimed Hinton. The next article is titled, Ghetto Until Proven Fashionable. Throughout popular culture, we often see trends created by Black women, usually deemed ghetto, co-opted by white women, and filtered into the mainstream, from gold nameplate necklaces to long acrylic nails and extended braids and ponytails. Black women are the blueprint. White women have been able to adapt these trends as their own without acknowledging the true taste makers, all while maintaining their distance from Blackness and the very environment that birthed these trends. On June 8th, a screenshot resurfaced of Sound Drianna Huff, a Black woman from Pensacola, Florida, who went live on Facebook wearing bright pink braids and matching strip eyelashes. During the live video, a number of critical comments rolled in, essentially calling her look ghetto. However, in February 2020, Allure featured the latest makeup trend, colored falsies. While we're unable to pinpoint the first person who wore a colorful lash, it does speak to an existing problem. Many aesthetics donned by Black women are often seen as ghetto until proven fashionable. Designer and fashion activist Narisha Willis took notice of the problem, being a Black girl from the hood, and used her designs to amplify the message. I started using the phrase as a hashtag in 2016 for photo shots I directed. It was my way of expressing the direction I always went in. I was honestly tired of people being surprised I was from the ghetto, as if I was supposed to walk, talk, and act in a certain way. The fashion industry referring to Black people as ghetto to later capitalize on it when a white woman does it is hypocritical, to say the least, she says. Willis has gone on to release a line of loungewear with statements such as, ghetto until proven fashionable, Black before it was fashionable, and you can't have the culture without the struggle, phrases that spoke to the experience of Black people. In wake of protest, Willis' phrase has been radicalized. Amongst a sea of signs, one read, ghetto until proven fashionable. And while it seems that the hijacking of fashion and beauty trends are on a much smaller scale in comparison, it continues to speak to the erasure of Black lives. Over the last few days, it has been apparent that Black voices continue to be drowned out, as many Black women and men in media share their truths about working for publications and facing corporate oppression. As they worked hard to amplify Black stories, these individuals detailed that they have ultimately been reprimanded and silenced. Fashion writer Chaney Hargrove spoke of her experience with Refinery 29, stating that an executive asked her to issue an apology for questioning why white women were suddenly wearing much gold, a trend that was also deemed ghetto previously. She referenced an episode of Sex and the City in which Carrie Bradshaw said, yeah, ghetto gold for fun, in response to Charlotte's puzzlement of Carrie being disgusted by potentially receiving a gold engagement ring. That's the thing. Being ghetto is not some singular moment in time to birth temporary fads. The creativity and innovation of growing up in the hood is ingrained in Black culture. As writer Nazario Scott put it in a 2017 article written for Flair, ghetto is nothing but creativity that hasn't been stolen yet. We see for stealing and regurgitating our struggle for profit, but we're here to take it all back. In all ways. These 20 Black designers are providing effective fast mace. That's the title of the next article. These 20 Black designers are providing effective face mask. At an alarming rate, COVID-19 has affected at least 2 million people, making medical supplies, including masks and gowns, hard to come by. During the beginning of the crisis, essential workers along with citizens had a hard time finding protective material, and some online orders were backed up for months. No one would have guessed at the beginning of March that the entire world would be dealing with a pandemic. Yet, here we are. Most cities are getting ready to implement plans to open up. However, wearing a mask is almost mandatory everywhere you go. With the scarce number of supplies, a few Black designers have stepped up by providing masks to alleviate the shortage. Last month, Kirby Jean Raymond used his Instagram platform to announce his plans for providing aid to COVID-19 victims. The Brooklyn-based creative turned his New York studio into a donation center and granted small businesses with financial support, while independent brand 620 curated a 6-minute video detailing how to sew masks following the current CDC protocols. Below are a few Black designers on the front lines helping in the fight against the coronavirus. For more information about effective face mask, visit who.int. This story was actually originally published on March 31st, 2020. The next article is titled, How Gospel Artist J.J. Harrison and Wife Trina Saved Their Marriage, Then Made It Stronger. Gospel powerhouse J.J. Harrison and his wife Trina had just finished having a heated discussion in their bedroom when I called them for our afternoon interview. After being together for 25 years, the couple recently added full-time business partner to their busy lineup. Alongside being full-time parents and lovers, and the transition required ironing out some kinks. Well, one thing we've always agreed to do is try to hear each other out without making it about what we feel, JJ tells Essence. So this was one of those cases where I was telling Trina how I felt. And it's kind of hard to receive that without trying to argue your point. Trina adds, we still have to remember that we're married first, and we have to make sure that even in our business interactions, we are still respecting each other as husband and wife. JJ and Trina offer a rare peek inside the mirage of Christian marriage perfectionism, bravely showing their scars in an effort to heal others in their book, A Miracle Marriage. During the more than two decades they spent together, JJ rocketed into superstardom with his breakout hit, You Deserve It, raking up numerous awards, including a Grammy nod for Best Gospel Performance in 2017. While their gospel world domination is admirable, what is equally impressive is how their relationship survived betrayal, heartache, and distrust. The pair admit they rushed into marriage, motivated by young love and not wanting to have premarital sex. We started going together when we were all like 15 or 16 years old. One of our major components is that we didn't know who we were. And I think some of the mistakes that we made involved trying to figure out who we were as individuals, Trina says. Those mistakes included infidelity, which brought the couple to the brink of divorce. Trina openly details that rocky time in their book. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you have enjoyed it and be sure to listen again next time. I am Ava Lewis reading for the NC Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. That website again is www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. So long until next time.